one high rung over a period of time.
Yes.
In those early days in social functions prior to your marriage, how did you handle social affairs at the embassy? Who was the person you turned to plan the menus and things like that?
Mrs. Dean. Volunteered and then did yeoman service in that regard. She was tremendously helpful.
And she had great experience in that. She'd been there for a while. She had experience in Hong Kong, Taiwan.
And she did it in a very graceful way without seeming to interfere or to dominate or anything like that. Man, she was very helpful to Sharon at the beginning, to them all that sort of thing, of course, was very new. No, she was a very great help in that regard.
What did you see then as your immediate tasks in those first days before the Vance visit?
Well, the embassy officers, the liaison office, wanted to know would I be willing to try and make contact with more ministers than my predecessors had done. And so that quite a bit of effort was made in the first two or three weeks to do that. And we got affirmative responses from a surprisingly large number. And depending upon which ministry it was, either somebody from the political section would go with me, or Bill Thomas, who was our economic officer. And we widened our relationship in that first month quite a bit. I particularly remembered I'd been there 2 weeks exactly when I didn't present my credentials, so I didn't have credentials to present. But I was the equivalent of that. I was received by Vice Premier Li Xianyan, who was very warm and very gracious. Matter of fact, I asked to see him when I left. He was no longer, of course, vice premier then. He was vice chairman. But I had said to him while he was still a vice premier, but just before the People's Congress at which he was to resign, I hoped it would be possible to see him in the future. And he assured me, yes. And so I particularly asked to see him and told him that reason I had is because he had been so warm and hospitable on the occasion of that first meeting. Also at a very early stage, I established a very warm relationship with the Indian ambassador, Narayanan, who is now currently the Indian ambassador to the United States. A very intelligent person, and there was something in the chemistry of our makeups that right from the very, very beginning, he and I were close. Lesser extent, and this is rather the ambassador from Pakistan, how the I was not nearly as close to him as to his successor, Eunice, who came some few months after I got there. I remember one incident in the run-up to the Vance visit. Six Seabees appear on the scene, and I inquire, what are they here for? Well, they're to rebuild the Radio Shack up on the roof. Well, of course, we had stuff housed up there, equipment that
Chinese
supposedly didn't know about. And of course, if you wanted to take off a millimeter from the bottom of a door, Chinese would come and want to know what you were doing to their property. And I would say, my God, let's not do that while the secretary is here. But in the event that was done after he left, they spent 2 weeks carrying materials in and out of the gate. Chinese never said boo, never asked us what we were doing or what's up there. Anything else? And I think the fact that the visit was so close to my going there helped a great deal in my concentration on what was in front of us. You know, there wasn't that much work to do in the liaison office. The numbers of American tourists was then quite low. Businessmen, not very many. And most of the activity was within the diplomatic community.
It's hard to remember, given the enormous changes in China since, but the memory of Mao really still hung heavy at the time that you arrived. The mausoleum, I think, had just been completed, or was still in the process of being completed and not yet open. That's right.
Not yet open.
And Volume 5 had been published.
And the little red books were all over.
All
the place.
Over. People were still wearing Mao buttons, yes, to some extent, in some places. So that you were there really in the lingering post-Mao era.
And one of the early plans I made was to go down to Shaoshan to the chairman's birthplace, because I figured that would get us a few brownie points with the Chinese. All of that was just taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Curiously enough, the change began to show first in discussions Chinese officials had with businessmen, when they began to drop out of their conversation, their rhetorical references to the chairman and so on. It was the businessman who first came to us to report that, you know, we had 2 days of conversations before the chairman's name was even mentioned.
That began to happen in the end of 77.
Yes.
So that, in a sense, I think that is important to just get on the record, that you arrived in a China where the Sino-American relationship was at low ebb. You did not have a great deal of business, really, to carry on. Your main task, as I hear you, was to initiate contacts with ambassadors, to broaden the rather narrow range of contacts that Americans had in the embassy, in the liaison office with the Chinese officialdom, to service the few Americans who were there. all of this taking place in a society that was still just putting its own act together politically in the post-Mao era.
Right.
And where the leadership itself was still unsettled.
Very definitely. Very soon after I was there, I was visited by a delegation from the University of Michigan, the Regents Group. And former President Harlan Hatcher was in the group, and they, on a Saturday, came out for a briefing of the residents, and while there, they asked if I could join them at dinner the next night, Sunday night, when they were just going to be by themselves, their final night in China, at the Horn of Plenty, which is one of Peking's good restaurants. And I was happy to accept. I didn't know until the fall when I was home and came to Ann Arbor for a football game. And Dean Baker said to me, "Did they ever tell you what happened as a result of your accepting our invitation?" No, but it seems that they had negotiated with the restaurant as to what they would pay for the meal. And then they said, we will have one more plate, one more person. Well, who is that person? Oh, this, the dinner you've negotiated for isn't good enough for an ambassador. You have to have a 30-yuan dinner. So they had to negotiate the price all over again.
These are scaled, actually, aren't they? That there's a price that each person of rank is considered to have a certain meal as appropriate.
I don't know whether it's a scale or a device. Of course, at that time, the meal prices were still somewhat reasonable. That they later on they got to be outrageously high.
You know, this summer the banquet that Dr. Brzezinski and I gave for our hosts, who had after all deserved the finest kind of banquet given our tour of China, the banquet cost Brzezinski and myself $1,000 US for three tables.
Mm. Then too reflective of little bit of what was going on in China. I'd been there 3 weeks when an Iowa farm group came to the residence for a briefing in the morning, and they included two or three faculty people from Iowa State, but also some honest-to-God farmers from Iowa. They were at the end of their tour, and they were quite praiseworthy of the Chinese for their cropping methods, but they had very low opinions of their pig raising. And of course the Chinese were saying, as they always have said, please give us your criticisms. So on the second or third commune they decide they'll give them a few criticisms about raising pigs, which they did. They never saw another pig for the rest of their tour. Of course, that changed too. After all the attitudes changed, when it was no longer just the formality to say, give us your criticism. In many, many cases, they literally meant it, but at that time, they most certainly did not.
I suspect that we should wait till the next session on the Vance visit itself, but let me raise two other questions. One, how did you find morale in the embassy? You had a very strong staff, but as I recall, there was also some morale problem because of the feeling of isolation, because of housing inadequacies. And my recollection is that you did a very good job in very rapid order in really instilling an esprit and sense of purpose to the mission.
Well, I think I was helped in that by the upbeat atmosphere that was created by the impending visit by the Secretary of State.
So that was already underway.
Right.
The low point was earlier in the year.
Yeah, I think so.
And then you probably had another low point at the end of the year. We can talk about that. But again, where there's a sense that with the administration ever going to do anything about normalization, I have heard that there was some. We can talk about that.
Yes. Yeah.
But the second question I had was what you got as a sense in a very, through your conversations with other ambassadors, perceptions of the Carter administration at that time.
They were puzzled. Those who in any way would indicate anything, and there weren't too many, they were frankly puzzled as to what they thought the priorities of the administration were and just where it was heading and what it intended.
Both with respect to China or with respect to other things
in
as well?
In general. I'm thinking, for example, of when I went to pay my courtesy call on Yu, the British ambassador, who was an old China hand. And I went there for lunch, and it was just he and I. No one else was there. So that we had a quite frank and far-ranging conversation. Not so much China, because I don't think he expected very much was going to happen with regard to China in any of it, but about things in general.
Yeah, that is my recollection. I remember on the eve of Vance's departure drafting a memo with Biggs' instructions, but also partly at my initiative, saying that the strategic setting for his visit was not propitious. In the absence of a Soviet policy, the Chinese were probably not going to be willing to make the compromises on Taiwan necessary to really move the normalization process forward.
Yes.
Did you have some other points that you wanted to go over
on the eve
of Vance, or this brings us to Vance? And the Vance visit.
No, I think that's
all right. Let's cover that next session.